In an attempt to address this mystery, two linguists, Jebbard James and Janice Drakich, surveyed four decades of research. They found 63 studies done between 1951 and 1991 that addressed gender differences in amount of talk. They found that a majority of the studies that looked at conversations between sexes found that men talked more, but they did find a significant number that found no differences. They even found a few that found that women talked more and some that had mixed results depending on the circumstances. What James and Drakich concluded, and I think this is the really important point for us, was that you had to look at the topics that were being talked about, the nature of the task, the social status of the speakers, and the social context of the talk. So you can't just count up who talks more. You've got to look at what's the context. Let me now tell you a personal anecdote that helped me understand the role of public and private speaking in women's and men's talk and the question of who talks more. Some time ago, I was invited to address a women's group, and they had invited men to join them for the purpose of my talk. And it was a talk about conversational style differences between women and men. During the evening, there was one couple that kind of stood out because they were sitting on the couch next to each other, and the man was a particularly talkative member of the group. So he frequently had comments to make and questions to ask and examples to give. And the woman sitting next to him never said anything. At one point in the evening, I made a comment, more or less as you've heard me made in this course, that often at the end of the day, a woman might say, "How was your day?" And a man might say, "Okay." And then she might have a lot to say about how her day was. At that point, the man on the couch spoke up, pointed his thumb toward the woman sitting silently beside him and said, "That's absolutely right. She's the talker in our family." The gathering of people burst out laughing. The man was kind of chagrined. He explained, it's true. At the end of the day, I come home, I have nothing to say, and she talks all evening. If she didn't talk, we'd spend the evening in silence. So this man and this woman were both talkers, but they were talkers in different circumstances. She was the talker at home, and he was the talker at this meeting. In other words, she was the private talker, and he was the public talker. I think we can understand, based on the earlier lectures that I gave, why, for her, talk comes into its own when she's home, because talk is the glue that keeps a relationship together, and because at home she feels free to talk because she doesn't have to worry so much about possibly saying the wrong thing or offending someone, seeming to be too aggressive, that she might be criticized by others because she's talking too much and monopolizing and standing out. And in general, talk is the way to create friendship, so it's when she's close that she feels like talking. But I want to think a little bit more now about why women have talked less in public situations and how historically this pattern has developed, and finally how it's related to the topic that I addressed earlier, which is agonism. In other words, the use of a kind of ritualized opposition to accomplish something that isn't literally about fighting. I want to start then with the historical background. The act of talking in public is an activity that until quite recently was the exclusive domain of men in Western society. In fact, it was outright closed to women. Not very long ago, the thought of a woman standing up in public, facing an audience, and speaking was unthinkable. A very interesting account is by David Noble about 16th century England, where he points out women were not even permitted to read the Bible aloud at home to their own families. In fact, a 1573 Act of Parliament drew strict divisions not only by gender but by class. And this comes from David Noble, and it's quite amazing. He writes, "Aristocratic men and women were still allowed to read the Bible in private, but only men were permitted to read from it aloud to the assembled household." So the household is a public situation here, not a private one. "Men of the merchant class remained free to read the scriptures in private, but their wives and daughters could no longer share that privilege." Among the lower ranks of society, both men and women alike were denied the right to read the Bible. Amazing. The categories were established both by gender and by class. And I'm sure many of you thought at that last point of the history of the United States where slaves were not permitted to be able to read.